me in your Bibles and let's go over to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And let's look at verse 18. It's part of the Christmas story. It says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus." Now, I want us to look at this and see that when God created man, he created man so that he could have somebody that he could fellowship with. God created man so that man could walk with him side by side and he could fellowship with man. Man could fellowship with him. In Genesis, we read about how God came walking in the garden in the cool of the day. He had come to pay a visit to his man that he had placed in that garden. But the problem was that Adam and Eve were hid. And the reason they were hid is because they had disobeyed God. God had set them in the garden, set them over everything in the garden, and told them, you can eat of everything in the garden except one tree. That one tree is mine. Everything else is yours, but that's mine. And most of you should know the story, but along comes a serpent. Along comes the devil, tempts Eve and says, you know, has God said you can't eat from that? And she says, yeah, he said we can't eat. Well, if we touch it, we'll die. And he says, well, God, you'll not die. God knows that if you eat that, you'll be like him. And so they took and they ate and they disobeyed God. And so God comes to walk with his man and he finds out that the man's hid. And then he says, you know, we were naked. And God said, who told you you were naked? See, their eyes had been opened to this evil. So it was in the garden that Adam, when he disobeyed God, he broke fellowship with God and he was put outside the garden because sin separated man from God. And so when we looked at this, we see that God, when you're reading the Word of God, you need to understand that for the next 4,000 years, everything that's going on, the series of events that takes place in the Old Testament, coming up to the New Testament, it was all God making a way to bring himself back into fellowship or bring man back into fellowship with him. Now, how would he do that? See, he gave them a book of laws, but they wouldn't keep it. He gave them faithful, great leaders, but they wouldn't follow them. So he's got to bring man back to himself. See, what had happened was that the sin that entered into the world through Adam's disobedience to God was now infused into man's nature. And so now man would just naturally sin, naturally disobey God. Man now, because of Adam's disobedience, had a sin nature. And so God's working through all this sin nature, working through all humanity and dealing with his man that he loves so much, that he created. He's working with this man to bring him back to a place to where they can fellowship once again. And in the middle of all this turmoil, he finds a faithful one that begins to prophesy and proclaim and give hints of the plan of God to bring man back to himself. Isaiah in chapter 7 verse 14, he prophesies. He said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." Now, in Matthew tells us that he'll be called Emmanuel with an E. Means God with us. In Isaiah, it's Emmanuel with an I. You say, well, what's the difference? One means God with us, and the other means with us is God. But in either case, God with us. So Isaiah is prophesying that God is going to bring a child into the earth that's going to bring us back to God, and God will be with us. Then again in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, Isaiah proclaims this, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment, with justice, from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So Isaiah is prophesying and seeing into the future, God allowing him to reveal his plan to the Old Testament saints. And then here we are, Matthew, it's recorded after 400 years of God being silent. God breaks his silence with Matthew penning the words that there's a son coming. Isaiah's prophecy is getting ready to come to pass, and it will be a signal for the beginning of the end of sin's reign over his man. God is bringing his plan forth. And so he did all this, and now we have God walking with us. Once again, God is walking in the earth in the person of Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Jesus had not come to this earth as God just to be with us. Jesus had come to this earth as a man to be a sacrificial lamb for us. Amen. And so God's plan is moving forward. Isaiah prophesied again over in Isaiah 53. And I want you to just turn with me or look up on the screen. And let's just read what he was saying once again. See, God revealed Isaiah was a faithful prophet. And God could reveal to him his plan. And Isaiah would say what that was. And he wasn't afraid. He didn't matter whether it sounded crazy. He believed God and he said what God told him to say. So here in Isaiah 53, here's what Isaiah says. We'll look at verse 2. And he's talking, he says, "For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we did as it were our faces, hid our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep are gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison, from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people he was stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath made him to be grieved. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days. And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Isaiah is telling us now that this baby boy that's coming, this baby boy is going to be the one that's going to save us from our sin. That's what he's prophesying. And so we look at it and we understand that this baby boy, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus, and we see all the manger scenes, and we see all the nativity scenes, and we see all this, and we see this beautiful little baby there, and you know, everybody, it just, you know, makes our hearts just, oh, the baby Jesus. But you got to understand, that beautiful baby boy would grow up to be the man that would go to Calvary and be crucified on a cross for the sins of every one of us, to bring an end to sin's rule and reign over our lives. Aren't you glad for that? So we have now Jesus Christ for us. You see, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ opened up the way for man not to just fellowship with God here on the earth, but he made a way that one day we could live out eternity with him in heaven. See, the Bible says here in 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. See that? He hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ was born so that God could be with us. And he came so that he could be here for us. But you know what? God wasn't done yet. Now let's move on just a little bit. Let's look and see what else God did. Go with me over to Acts chapter 1. In Acts chapter 1, we find something else going on. In Acts chapter 1, verse 4, Luke writing here, he says, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Jump down to verse 8. Luke writes Jesus' words that he spoke. But ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. Jump over to chapter 2. Look at verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. He's talking about the disciples, the believers, the followers of Jesus. And suddenly there was a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, And He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But you know Him, for He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. See, at Bethlehem, He became God with us. At Calvary, He became God for us. And at Pentecost, He became God in us. Let me ask you, is He in you? Is He in you? You see, God worked His plan so eloquently to make sure that He went a step farther. Not only now was He with man, but now He lives on the inside of you and I. He lives in us. What a wonderful thing to know that the God that created everything can live in us. Now, here's the thing. God spent a whole lot of time bringing about this plan and bringing about the Jesus and allowing His own Son to die, be crucified on a cross, be placed in a tomb, literally go to hell and pay you the price for you. But He didn't leave Him there. He saw His soul and He was satisfied. And He raised Him out of that place. And Jesus had paid the price for the sins of every person that would ever lived. Let me ask you something. Are you going to allow that wonderful gift that God gave us by giving us His Son Jesus Christ? Are you going to just allow that to be for nothing? Think about that. It's been 6,000 years. God worked His plan out and brought Jesus to us and He crucified Him so that He could die for us. And then He said, you can even have Me in you if you want to. But it's up to you. He's not going to make you receive Him as Savior. He's not going to make you receive Him as Lord. It's going to be you to make that choice. Now, I want you to understand that God chose Himself to do this for us. God loved, the Bible says that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. The world, see, here's the thing about the world doesn't love Jesus. The world doesn't know Jesus. But still, God allowed Jesus to die for everyone. The world. That's how much God loves you. And right now, God is giving you the invitation. I know it. I know what God does. I know how He works. And on the inside of you right now, if you're not a child of God, I know that on the inside God's telling you, you need to make yourself a Christian. You need to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. You need to make sure that you're on your way to heaven. Church, you've got to understand something. I was at a funeral yesterday, Austin's mom, 64 years old, and you say, well, that's an old person, you know. And I'm 63. And once you get to be 63, 64 ain't old. And you'll see that one of these days. It may seem old. My dad seemed old. He died at 53. I was in my 20s. And it seemed like he was old, but he wasn't old. But here's what I want. The reason I'm saying that is this. Death is not a respecter of persons. I just saw this week a 30-year-old dead. Not very long ago, a high school student dead. See, you think you've got all the time in the world. And the devil will whisper it in your ear and say, you've got plenty. You know, that's for those old folks. You get married, get settled down, have some kids and stuff. Maybe you start going to church then. You don't have any promise of any of that. What you've got is right now. Everybody take a breath. You had that breath right there, but you don't have the promise of another. What if you leave this earth before you make Jesus your Lord? See, the Bible teaches us that God is wanting us to accept Jesus so we can come and be in heaven with Him. But if we refuse Him, there is a place that you will be for all eternity. And that place is called hell. It's not talked about a whole lot because it's not politically correct, but it's still real. And if you're born again, if you've made Jesus Christ your Lord, when you leave this earth, then you're going to heaven. But if you've not made Him your Lord, then you're going to hell. And my plea with you this morning is make the decision now while you have time. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Allow Jesus Christ to come into your heart. I promise you, it'll be the greatest life you've ever lived. Not a perfect life. Don't take away all your problems. But you got the one who can help you solve your problems now living on the inside of you. In the person of Jesus Christ. God did it all for us. He did it all for you. Now what will you do? Would you stand with me?